providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
With the top of the hour news, I want to say we have a really, really interesting guest, Jeff Hayes, on our program. Now, Jeff is a filmmaker. He has produced a documentary film entitled The Real Anthony Fauci. Let me give you a little bit of an introduction into what Jeff is all about. Jeff lives down in Utah. As his publicist said, quote, while American families and businesses struggle to survive financially from the public health regulations imposed by federal and state governments, Dr. Anthony Fauci's family saw their net worth skyrocket, really skyrocket. Dr. Fauci made $5 million, according to recently released documents from his policies that he's got pretty much America, got America to adhere to. Regular listeners are aware what Jimmy and I think about the way that COVID was handled, a little bit on the ridiculous side. Jimmy, you want to start out with our guest here?
You bet. And Jeff, Mr. Hayes, it's an absolute honor to have you on here.
You bet.
We understand, you know, you've got this movie coming out on October 18th. Can you, and of course, it was based on the book, The Real Anthony Fauci by Robert Kennedy. Can you give us a little bit of a description of how you got involved into this project and why?
Yeah, I'd love to. And guys, thank you so much for having me on. You know, if it wasn't for shows like yours, I would be playing to a vacuum because we're being suppressed everywhere we go. This book, The Real Anthony Fauci, was a publishing phenomenon this year. It's one of the top-selling books of the year. It sold 1 million copies, 17 weeks on the New York Times bestseller list, and still to this day has not had one major media review. It was the most suppressed book of my lifetime. Bookstores wouldn't carry it. You know, it's astounding. We've already, our website, therealanthonyfaucimovie.com, we saw yesterday AT&T customers in parts of the area were having trouble reaching it where it's being blocked. And the, you know, we're on 5 blacklist already for a new site for a film that no one has seen. They can't be objecting to the movie because they haven't seen it. They're literally censoring the idea or the thought of this. And that's how powerful this book was. When I read it.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
When I read it, I knew immediately I wanted to make the film.
Right.
Then, like any rational person, I thought, have I lost my mind? You know, this is, I joke that this is my career-ending film because, you know, I've watched what Bobby has gone through, you know, where this guy was, you know, liberal royalty. He was loved and revered. He was a successful environmental lawyer and, you know, was, he had access everywhere. He wrote an opinion piece for the New York Times every 6 months. You know, he was, you know, access to anyone in the United States and all of those doors shut for him.
Yeah.
So, it was not without some trepidation that I decided to do this. I called Bobby. I've known him for years and asked him if he would allow me to do this, and he agreed. And it has been a delight both to work with him, but also to deal with, you know, his book, the exhaustive and detailed research he did so much of my work for me. I just had to go interview the people he had in the book and assemble it in this format.
Jeff, let me just bring up one thing real quick, and I'll just take a couple of seconds here because this is your show as far as we're concerned. I know quite a bit about the Kennedy family. I was very, very taken and impressed and supportive of John F. Kennedy, the president, and I read more and more and more about Bobby. I looked at what Bobby did for the country. I got to tell you, these guys, if progressives today, if Democrats today were like John F. Kennedy and Bobby Kennedy, I probably wouldn't be a conservative. I just want to say that's how much I respect these guys. Go ahead, man.
Let me follow up a little bit on your original statements there, Jeff. So connecting with Robert Kennedy Jr., doing this film, putting it together, what were some of the biggest takeaways that you have with the film that actually will impact listeners, watchers, and people that may not understand the full story behind what Anthony Fauci's done over his career?
Well, it's really the story of medical tyranny, and it's I was somehow mostly oblivious to Anthony Fauci until I started seeing him. And, you know, and when he initially, you know, when I became aware of him, here's this avuncular, grandfatherly, even, you know, seemingly rational voice standing next to Trump and then eventually standing next to Biden. And I, you know, I found him to be likable, you know, and, you know, articulate and, you know, and that was in my basic impression of him. And then he came out and said, you know, no reason to wear a mask. And then all of a sudden he changed on that and a few other things. But it wasn't until I read Bobby's book and I was stunned. It really started in 1984 when Tony Fauci took over a small, not very powerful department, the infectious disease department at the NIH. It didn't have a big budget. Infectious diseases were waning, and it was a small bureaucratic position. And the AIDS epidemic happened, and he jockeyed to get that assigned to his department.
Yeah.
And he took that ball and ran with it and built a budget of $1.7 billion a year and then protected it fiercely as he started controlling all of the money that goes toward research.
You're talking about the AIDS situation.
Yes.
Yeah.
And with that, as he controlled the funding, I don't know if you remember the Matthew McConaughey movie, The Dallas Buyers Club.
Of course I do.
Yeah, people with AIDS that were literally having to smuggle in the drugs that were keeping them alive.
Yeah.
That were cheap and readily available that he blocked access to in the United States. And instead, he had people only able to receive AZT, which at that time was the most deadly chemotherapy drug that had ever been introduced to mankind. And this is the same playbook that he brought into COVID as he maligned and marginalized and really lied about ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine
yeah.
and the results that frontline doctors were getting. And instead, you know, only would allow remdesivir, an expensive and once again deadly drug that was for Ebola and was too deadly for Ebola patients. And this is what he backed.
Yeah. You know, I want to say one thing about the philosophy of our show, Mr. Hayes. And the philosophy is purely and simply listen to both sides of every story. Whether you're talking about the effectiveness or lack of effectiveness of past President Trump, for example, or whether you're talking about the same two subjects about Joe Biden, for example, it's really critical to listen to both sides of every story and then to make up your own mind. And that's why I really appreciate you coming on the show. Why don't you wrap it up for us, Jimmy? We got about a minute left here in this segment.
Yeah, so I think we definitely want to approach some of the specifics in the second half of the show on what's happening with Anthony Fauci and, of course, the hiding of information, the FDA's, you know, some of the things that you can talk about with the with your movie. And then, of course, we want to get people to be able to watch it on October 18th, the real Anthony Fauci, when it comes out. And of course, we also I think people ought to take a look at some of the films that you've done, other films, because you've got quite a history of and some pretty good successes that we can talk about after the break. So
5 seconds,
we'll be right back. Yeah, we'll be right back, and we'll be meeting with Jeff Hayes and the